In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me this morning. Two forces shape our thinking. There is, of course, the pandemic. For nearly 8 months, the virus has upended normal life. It has brought death and suffering and disruption. And yes, there are some who pretend that the virus is not so bad. They hide the data under a comb-over of denial and conspiracies. They try and edit all that we see with an airbrush of fake color. But the virus is so bad. And the experts now say that we could not be in a worse position heading into late fall and winter. And so, of course, it is hard to think a thought without that thought somehow smashing up against the coronavirus. That's one force that shapes our thinking. The other is the election. National elections always take center stage, but this year, the urgency is over the top. Naked selfishness has artificially warmed the political climate for several years, and now there are wildfires of rivalry and division and hatred, and they are burning down the standards of civility and decency that used to be sure bets in this nation. The pandemic and the election. We can't take our minds off them. Everything else can barely compete. It's hard to see beyond them. Brothers and sisters, the pandemic and the election, these are the Gadarene swine that keep us from noticing the suffering around us. The pandemic and the election are the pigs which keep us distracted and which give us permission to ignore the legions who need help now, who need support now, who need love now. In the gospel this morning, Jesus releases a human being from his bondage to darkness, but there's a price to pay. The herd of swine, so valued by the Gadarenes, that herd of swine has to perish. For the Gadarenes, confronted by Christ, for the Gadarenes, the swine are more precious than the man who suffers in that field of tombs. In fact, this is precisely why that man is there in the graveyard to begin with. The swine trade is too profitable. The swine trade is what brings comfort and predictability and security. And you can't take care of profitable pigs if you also have to take care of hurting humans. So let's get the human beings out of sight. Put them in chains in a place we don't ever have to go, to a place that is hidden from view. Send Legion to the tombs and make sure he stays there so that the swining can continue. And we know that the Gadarenes place pigs above people, because when the Gadarenes see their brother Legion, when they see him healed and in his right mind, and when they see the bloated bodies of the dead pigs bobbing in the tide, when they see all this, they ask Jesus to leave. "We don't want any part of this," they say. "The cost of caring for one another is too high. Don't you ever dare do that again. Leave now and never come back. The pigs are precious, and we want them." This morning, and every morning, Jesus once again walks into the field of tombs that lie outside the boundary of what we care about and of what we choose to see and focus on. And he walks there to have compassion on the forgotten. This week, every week, While the national conversation is dominated by partisan squabbles related to virus control and election security, human beings continue to fall silently through the cracks. Let me give you just one example. We are very proud here at St. Nicholas of our partnership with Family Promise North Shore, formerly housed in Beverly. Family Promise is an amazing nonprofit that is dedicated to ending family homelessness. They work with churches to provide temporary housing and support while building the skills needed by the homeless parents to secure stable employment and permanent housing. Well, Family Promise was formerly based in Beverly because the pandemic brought everything to a screeching halt in recent weeks. Family Promise can no longer bring the homeless and the Christian volunteers together because of the need for social distancing and ventilation. Churches can no longer provide temporary housing for the same reason. And so places like Family Promise are struggling to keep that lifeline in place for those that they serve. And it gets worse because family homelessness itself is getting worse. I received an email from Rachel Hand this week. Rachel is the executive director at Family Promise North Shore, and I'd like to read her email to you. This is what Rachel writes. This week has been one of the most disheartening since the pandemic began. After a very successful fundraiser, I started off the week optimistic and energized. Then I began to notice an unusual increase in requests for assistance. In 1 week, she writes, we have seen a 300% increase in calls to our shelter and housing navigation program. These are calls from families seeking assistance with locating shelter or preventing an impending eviction. Yesterday, Rachel continues, as I was sitting in my warm house, my husband commented on how idyllic the snowy landscape was outside. And in that moment, I couldn't help but wonder how many families were sleeping in their cars that night, worrying about how to keep the car warm enough to combat the snow and cold. An hour later, a message came through my inbox. My wife, my baby, and I have been sleeping in our car for the last 3 nights. I called the state shelter system, and they gave us your number. Here is the reality of what is happening right now, Rachel writes. People are becoming homeless, staying outside or in their vehicles in the middle of a global pandemic. Since just July 1st of this year, just July 1st, there have been over 1,500 families who've applied for Massachusetts state shelter. 57% of those families were turned away and given a piece of paper with our number written on it. I do not have the answers on how to combat the homelessness and housing crisis we will continue to see in Massachusetts in the coming months. I feel powerless in a battle against a force I cannot control. But I do know this. At Family Promise North Shore Boston, we will keep answering the phone. We will keep responding to the calls and the emails because someone gave these families our number and we will not let them down. End of email. Brothers and sisters, look beyond the swine and see the forgotten. Like the forgotten family freezing in their car while people in the witch city worried about how they might pull off an evening of trick-or-treat. Our church building here at St. Nicholas, our church building right now, temporarily, sits closed. We choose to stay at home for the greater protection of those at risk, and this is a good thing. But why not take a further step? Why not offer what we have and do not use to those like Family Promise, those who offer new life to those with little hope? As Rachel writes, in just 3 months, over 855 families were turned away from overfull shelters with nothing more than a piece of paper and a phone number. Whose phone number? Not ours. Not St. Nicholas Orthodox Church. Not the Diocese of New England. Not the Orthodox Church in America. Why not? Why not our phone number? Family Promise is not a large organization. On the North Shore, they can help like 5 families, not 855. But the state of Massachusetts writes down their name and their number because they have a reputation for compassion and sacrifice. They are known for their love. That same love is in your hearts. I know it is. I see it every day as the priest of this community. Brothers and sisters, let that love shine. Forget the distractions. Put on a mask, keep your distance, and go and vote. And then banish the pigs. Do what Jesus does. Let the swine fly high off those cliffs and into the sea. And then seek out the legions who need you. Can we do something about family homelessness at St. Nicholas? I'm sure we can. I'm sure we can do much so long as 2 or 3 are gathered. So let's gather. And let's put people over pigs, just as Christ does. Amen.